If you have your Bible this morning, please turn with me to the 42nd Psalm. 42nd Psalm, I'm going to talk to you really about what America needs today. I believe what the church needs and what our world needs. What you need individually, I bet you. Psalm 42. I had somebody sent this to me, and let me read it to you. It says, the minister was preoccupied with thoughts of how he was going to ask the congregation to come up with more money than they were expecting for repairs on the church buildings. Therefore, he was annoyed to find that the regular organist was sick. Well, our regular organist is sick. She's gone today, isn't she? And a substitute had been brought in at the last minute. The substitute wanted to know what to play. Here's a copy of the service, he said impatiently. But you'll have to think of something to play after I make the announcement about the finances. During the service, the minister paused and said, brothers and sisters, we are in great difficulty. The roof repairs cost twice as much as we expected, and we need $4,000 more. Any of you who can pledge $100 or more, please stand up. At that moment, the substitute organist played the Star Spangled Banner. And that is how the substitute organist became the regular organist. Psalm chapter 42. I'll read 11 verses here. Psalm 42 and verse 1. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throne. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs His love. At night His songs with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. I want to talk to you this morning about one word, really. And I zero in on two verses from this 42nd Psalm. And we don't know exactly who the writer is. Most Psalms say the Psalm of Moses or David. We're not exactly sure, but a lot of people think, and I kind of lean in this direction, that maybe King Hezekiah was the writer of this Psalm. And King Hezekiah was a very interesting guy. He was 25 years old when he became king in Judah. He was the king for 29 years. His father was a very wicked man, as was his son that followed him. But Hezekiah was a good man, and he reformed the way people were living spiritually. There were a lot of spiritual reforms. Hezekiah was a great leader, a strong man. Two events in his life led to this. One of them was when in 702 B.C., there's a guy from Assyria and a king whose name was Sennacherib. He pulled into the city of Jerusalem and they said, we're going to destroy you. Your God is a worthless God. Your God is a stupid God. Your God is a powerless God. And they taunted the people. And the people were scared to death. And they ran to the king. And when King Hezekiah got word that the enemy had them surrounded and cut off, the Bible says that he pulled up the skirts of his robe and he ran to the temple. And the Bible says over in 2 Kings 19 that he spread it out, Matt, before the Lord. He went in the temple and spread it out before God, the message from this wicked king. And he said, God, we need you. God, we got to have you. God, you've got to show up. We won't make it without you, God. Help us, God. And he prayed. 2 Kings 19 talks about that. The Bible talks about how it tells us that God answered that. The next morning they got up and 185,000 Assyrian soldiers were dead. And God could handle that problem. There's another case in Hezekiah's life on the heels of that in the next chapter where in chapter 20, Isaiah the prophet goes to Hezekiah who is sick. And Isaiah is not a doctor, Monty. He is a pastor. He's a prophet. He's really been a cheerleader. Hezekiah's a great king. And Isaiah was his pastor. And he went to him, and when he was sick, he said, you're going to die. I got a word from the Lord. You're going to die. And the Bible says then Hezekiah Josh did about the same thing this time he did when the enemy was at the door. The Bible says he turned his face. He went to his bed, turned his face to the wall and said, Lord, God, you've got to help me. Lord, remember how I've walked. And he cried out to the Lord. And the Bible says, even before Isaiah could get out halfway out of the door, that he turned around and came back and said, okay, Hezekiah, I got a word from the Lord. And God said, you're going to live. You're going to live 15 more years. That'd be a good thing if we all knew that, wouldn't it? If we knew we had 15 more years. But that's what God told Hezekiah through the prophet. Hezekiah was a great man. But he says here, the scriptures, I want to zero in today on two verses though. And that is Psalm 42, 1 and 2. He said, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When can I go and meet with God? When I was a chaplain at West Point, cadet chaplain, we had a program there called Genesis. I hope it's still alive today. It is alive. But we used to have on Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock, I'd meet the cadets up there, 5 or 5:30, and we'd feed them pizza. We'd feed them, go down to Boodler's Pizza, and we'd get a truckload. Can you imagine getting enough pizza to feed 250 to 300 cadets? And you know, they could eat some food. I mean, we would literally get a pickup load of it. And come up there, but our favorite song, the song they love to sing, if I asked them, Peggy, what is your song? What do y'all want to sing? And they would say, as the deer, pants for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. And I tell you, if you've never heard 250 to 300 young voices, young, strong, vibrant voices there just to praise the Lord, man, there's nothing. I tell you, if I could take one snapshot of my life and say I would like a rerun of that one, I guarantee you that'd be one of those times. Just to be there with all those young voices praising God. As a deer pants for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. So I want to talk about that this morning. And I want to zero in on one word though. The word is thirst. Thirst. Now I want to make three or four points. Number one, thirst creates a sense of longing. I'd ask you this morning, how thirsty are you for God? How thirsty are you? And America ought to thirst for God. I think, Rick, it's anything we need in this day and time, it's a thirst for God. Amen? Amen. Anything I need individually, anything we need as a nation. We've done everything we could do, Mike, to outlaw God from this nation. We got we got people leading our country, I'm afraid, that we try to outlaw everything. And we're just in real trouble today. We need a thirst for God. It don't matter how anybody votes on things. What does God think about it? We can legislate everything we want to, but that's not the issue. The issue is, how does Almighty God feel about it? But I want to zero in one word. The word is thirst. And I want to say number one is, thirst creates a sense of longing. When I got off a plane in Saudi Arabia, first time I was ever on that side of the world, Mike, in 1989, I was thirsty. That Sunday morning, that big plane landed about 7 o'clock in the morning, and I started drinking water. We had a bottle of water. By the way, How do y'all think we ever got by without bottled water? How did we make it? Before we put bottled water like this, you know. How do we make it? Drinking out of just plain water out of a tap. Any of y'all remember those kind of days before you could buy water? I don't know how we made it. But anyway, when we got off that plane, all we had, and by the way, I don't know why anybody, Jeremy, would want to live in a part of the world. Why would they call that desert home? It was miles from water. No water anywhere around. Not a shade tree. Why would anybody, Frankie, want to call that place home? But they did. And we got off, though, and we had no water with it except what we took with us. Cases and cases of water. And I started drinking water. And they said you needed 5 gallons a day to survive. Any of you soldiers ever heard anything like that? Now, who in the world you think could drink 5 gallons of water in a day? You know, and if you did, you'd look like a basketball, wouldn't you? And so, but I know I drank 2 or 3 gallons. But I want to tell you that, and thirst is one thing, I automatically got thirsty. But I want to tell you, thirst is something if you ever get thirsty, you can't get that out of your mind, can you? You got to have something to quench that thirst, Sergeant Major. And I've learned that working, you know. I love to do outside work, but when I get really thirsty, I can't get it off my mind. And I don't know that thirst creates a sense of longing. They say you got to have water. God made us like that. The body, they say, is 60% water. The brain, they say, is guess how much? Well, some of you know because Craig heard me preach, 70%. And I know people got a lot more water than that on the brain, don't you? And they say blood, your blood content, your blood is 80% water. God created us, so we got to have water. And I tell you, if you're working outside to keep your balance, you got to replenish that water in your system. And Hezekiah said, the writer here says, for you I thirst, oh God. Let me ask you this question. How thirsty are you? How thirsty are you spiritually? If somebody said to you this morning, Ben, you can have anything on earth you want, anything, what would it be? Some people would be probably a new, I told some people, it might be a new Lincoln I've been looking at. Might be a new house, piece of real estate. Could be a different job. Could be a lot of things. What is it you want more than anything else? Hezekiah said, and the writer here says, as a deer pants for water, I thirst for thee, O God. Do you really thirst for God? Thirst creates a sense of longing. Number two, I think thirst is a good sign of life. Now, some of you have been to Germany. How many of you guys have been to Germany before? Some of you have. Many of us stationed there. I visited John the other night and they got a beautiful shrunk. I have one like that. That came from Germany, and they have one. I tell you another thing we picked up. Now, some of you have seen. You ever seen the picture, Terry? I don't know if you have been there, but there's a picture of those deer standing down there at a lake, 4 or 5 deer, and Peggy shaking her head, and mountains in the background. I don't know, maybe in Germany there somewhere, but I've seen a picture like that, and it's such a peaceful, beautiful place. But the picture here in Psalm 42 is not like that. The picture in Psalm 42, Jerry, is like a deer hunt. Any of y'all ever been on a deer hunt? Anybody like deer hunt beside me and Richard? I love the deer hunt. I love it in the morning. And over in Mississippi, we use dogs. I don't know if you still do, but they use dogs to run them. And I tell you, it's no Alabama or Ole Miss or Auburn football game better than a good deer hunt. A good dog race in the morning, is it, Jack? When you hear those hounds and they coming through the wood and they got that big old buck, they have picked up the scent of that deer and they've got him and they on that deer's heels and they'll run him and run him and run him through the woods and through the underbrush and all that, and that deer's running and running and across rivers and everything for miles maybe, and then it dawns on that deer, maybe my biggest enemy is not the dogs, but my biggest enemy is what? Thirst. Thirst catches up with him. And then maybe when that deer gets to a body of water, and I've seen him do this, I've seen him just jump in, you know, and he rather then he don't lap that water. He's eating that water, man. He's eating it, getting as fast he can just out of water. I had a young cadet at West Point. You may have known him. May still be. I think he's a teacher now. His name's Doug Crandall. Doug Crandall was a young man. I baptized him in Delafield Pond up there on a Sunday at West Point. It is the coldest water on earth, coldest place on earth. And I baptized about 14 of them that Sunday, but one of them name was Doug Crandall. And Doug Crandall, he came to me, and wasn't too long, he came to me and said, Brother Moore, Chaplain Moore, I have found a Bible study on Monday night. They call it Navigators. And then on Tuesday, he was in Genesis Sunday night, Navigators Monday night, FCA Bible study Tuesday morning, something else on Wednesday night, Young Life on Thursday night. Almost every night of the weekend, he was in a Bible study or a prayer group. Almost every night of the week. If he couldn't find a Bible study, he would start a Bible study. Why? He was alive. Just like that deer. He was alive. He was thirsty because he was alive. And I would tell you that Doug had a thirst. He had a thirst because he couldn't get enough of it. Because he was alive. Let me ask you this question this morning. How much of God does it take to satisfy you? How thirsty are you? One thing that worries me sometimes is I don't know that a lot of our people have a spiritual thirst. Kind of worries me a lot. You'd worry too if you was a pastor. Worries me that there's not a spiritual hunger, and you ought to have a spiritual appetite. And I tell you this, when I was a boy, a little old boy, and my mama would cook a big one of those log rolling dinners, George, and she cooked every day, usually three meals a day. She put it on. Listen, how many times you said thanks, she'd have to say, come to the table and come and get it. You think she had to call me more once? I guarantee you she didn't. You know why? Because I haven't had an appetite. And I would tell you, it does worry me because sometimes I think that our people, I don't like preaching empty pews. And I think sometimes, well, if I was a better preacher, maybe the people would come. The old devil play a lot of tricks. He'll say a lot of stuff to you. But I tell you, there's a deeper issue than that is, and that is how hungry, how thirsty are you spiritually? I believe one reason that Doug had that spiritual hunger was he was alive spiritually. So I want to ask you the question, how much of God does it take to satisfy you? How thirsty are you? Because the writer here says, for you, O God, like a starving deer, a dying deer, like he pants for water, so my soul longs for you. Then I want to say the third point is this. Number one is what? Y'all listen to me? Creates a sense of longing. Thirst creates a sense of longing. Number two is thirst is a sign of life. Number three is thirst is a sign of labor. This writer says, why is the deer so thirsty? Why is he panting and struggling? I think, and why would we say, and I prayed this, we prayed it with church staff this week. We said, God, we got to have you. I prayed it with our staff. This week, we got some issues. We need God. I need God to show up. And I tell you this, if I thought God wasn't going to show up here today, I wouldn't have come myself. Except that I'm the preacher. And I have to come. You heard that story, hadn't you? About the man that got up and said, I'm not going today. And his mother said, you are going for two reasons. One of them is, you're the preacher. You are going. But I want God to show up. But I want to say this to you. Thirst is a sign of labor. And I believe this. I believe that's when you really need God. It's when you've been in the trenches, man. When you've been on the battlefield for the Lord. If you're working for the Lord. And what I believe some of the greatest books on the deeper life are written not by monks sitting in a cave somewhere, but I think they're written, Charlotte, by people that have been out there on the battlefield for the Lord that really know and need God. And we say, we've got to have, God, I've got to have you or I'll die. We won't make it without you. So I want to say the third thing is, thirst is a sign of labor. It's a sign of life. Number one is creates a sense of longing. Number two is it is a sign of life. Number three, a sign of labor. And number four, my last one is a sign of love. Four times. You know what he said he's hungry for, Jackie? Thirsty for? He said God. In two verses, he uses the name God four times. I close with this. I met her in, first time I remember, November of 2009. We went to the Enterprise Country Club. I was eating lunch with some of you. I don't know who took me out to lunch that day, Jerry, but somebody. And I met this young lady. And I'm going to tell you what my pickup line was. My pickup line was, do I know you? Have I met you? That's number one. Number two was, are you a single lady? And number three was, do you like movies? And she said, you do know me. Me and my mama sit at the back of the, I've heard you preach. And you know, it's a big church. Faces don't always jump out in the crowd, but anyway, and there's some faces that really do jump out in this crowd, you know. I'm kidding. But anyway, the line I used was, well, I won't tell you all of it, but It worked, Jerry, that's right. And then I saw her at a Christmas party, and two of my deacons said, there's a girl over in the corner, and the girl you're looking for is over in the corner. I won't tell you the name, but the initials were Dale Marsh and Bill Searcy. He said, she's over in the corner. And then we had two dates. After the second date, and Bobby Bowden could tell you about the pineapple story, the pineapple sandwich. First meal I ever ate with Doris and Celia together, I think, was a pineapple sandwich. And I called him one Sunday night. Ben said, what are y'all doing? He said, well, we're fixing to have a sandwich at church. Well, she said, you want a pineapple sandwich? She thought she had plenty of pineapple. And that wasn't the case. When I left that night, Doris said, asked Celia, she said, Celia, you didn't put much pineapple on my sandwich. And Celia said, well, I don't know how much you got, but it was more than what I got. And she thought she had plenty of pineapple, but anyway, I ate the pineapple sandwich. Doris had a pineapple juice sandwich. And I see you had light bread. But anyway, but I want to say this. We dated twice in January, and then she pretty much hooked the fish. I was a smitten guy. And I want to tell you, I love being with her. Even more so today. I love to hold her hand. I love to look at her. I love to smell that ambush perfume. Any of you girl ladies have some ambush perfume? Isn't that what it is? See it? I love being with her. And sweeter than the day before.
Amen.
Every day with Jesus. And every day with Celia, sweeter than the day. I want to ask this question. Sometimes do you ever get to where you just want to be alone with God, just you and God. Just you and God, because I thirst for you. Just me and God. I close with something I don't do often, but I'm going to do it today. And I was thinking about a song. It goes like this. Get a drink of water and I'll tell you. We're off television now. 11:31, so they won't get to hear me sing. But it goes like this. Longing, longing for Jesus. I have a longing in my heart for Him. Just to be near Him. To feel His presence. I have a longing in my heart for Him. I hope you have that longing. It's all about Him. It's all about Him.